Hello, Kansas City. So glad you can join us this spring afternoon on Every Woman. And I'm joined with my co-host, Fiona Nowling.
Hello.
And Una Nowling.
Hello.
And we also have an intern.
Hello.
And our intern's name is Trinity Rain. And we're so happy to have her here today.
You forgot to introduce yourself, Christina.
Oh, well, and I'm Christina Fraser. Today, our guests represent a very interesting organization called Bra Couture KC. And that organization joins artists, cancer patients, and the community together for a big gala fundraiser event this year called The Masquerade, The Million Dollar Milestone, and it's on April 13th. The Bra Couture KC raises funds for cancer patients in the greater Kansas City area who cannot pay for their cancer supplies such as cancer medication, transportation to treatment, prosthetics, wigs, surgical supplies, blankets, food, and lymphedema garments, serving men, women, children, everybody touched by cancer. BCKC, primarily their primary event, uniquely celebrates breast cancer survivors on the runway, wearing amazing work of art bras to fundraise for Kansas City area organizations who are aligned with their mission. To date, BCKC has raised close to $2 million, which goes to the University of Kansas Patients in Need Fund, at Missy's Boutique, Bra Couture KC, Appearance Center, Truman Medical Center, North Kansas City Hospital, Kansas Cancer Action, and Surviving the Odds. Before I introduce our guests, I wanted to ask you, Fiona and Una, have you ever had the experience of feeling self-conscious about your body because of an illness or for reasons out of your control where your body was changed or impacted in some way?
Well, I've had thyroid cancer, so I have a lovely little scar on my neck that's going to take a while to fade, but I was very lucky that I didn't actually have to have the radioactive iodine follow-up treatment, because that can have some nasty side effects, although not as severe as the hair loss usually, but generally, the whole feeling like crud and walking like I was 90, even more so than I usually do from my fibro, was bad enough. And there are lots of recommendations from the support group online about how to best take care of the scar. They always say that you're supposed to keep it out of sunlight so that it doesn't darken. So after the first 6 months, it's okay. I got some advice on that about wearing neck gaiters instead of having to slop nasty, greasy, stinky sun lotion on around my neck every day any time I wanted to go outside.
Una, do you have any?
Yes. Actually, I could probably go on for days about this. Being a transgender woman, every day is an adventure with coming to acceptance with my body. And, you know, my breasts were an important part of that. They were an important part of both my appearance as well as, psychologically speaking, how I fit in with the rest of the women of the world, most of the women. I mean, I know that women are all shapes and sizes, and I know that some women tragically have had to lose their breasts, of course, but to fit in with the general public, I really felt a very strong pressure that I had to have augmentation to be correct. And so I understand, to some extent, to a small extent, how a cisgender woman who has to lose her breasts would feel looking at all the women around her and wondering now how her shape is different and struggling with breast forms and so forth and trying to get your clothes right.
Mm. Well, the experience of celebrating the female body in all forms and encouraging confidence in women after cancer is at the heart of Bra Couture KC. As you can imagine, breast cancer can literally leave a woman disfigured, losing hair, eyebrows, eyelashes, and sometimes even fingernails to chemo, as well as losing breasts. And all the time you're fearing for your life and feeling physically horrible. And it can really threaten your ability to feel okay about your body even after you heal. And so Bra Couture, just to give you a little bit more explanation of what it does, it pairs up customized bras that are done by local artists, but they're really sort of theme costumes in a way, and they're created by local artists, and they're paired up with local cancer survivors who model them. And the cancer survivors model the bra costumes, and they get a day of glamour and beauty, and finally they walk down a runway. The bras are auctioned off to provide much-needed funding, and then that auctioned off money helps people afflicted with cancer to buy these many expensive specialty item things that we need, that they need. And so joined in the studio with us today is Sharon Butler Payne, and she is the founder and executive director of Bra Couture. Sharon's interests lie in the community services, and she has a long, long, long list of organizations, foundations, and programs she has founded, and including the Art Bra KC. And then our other guest is Liz Kampschroeder, and she's a local artist from Overland Park, Kansas, and she started rhinestoning in 2004 with dance costumes for her two daughters, and she continues to offer her rhinestone services for Bra Couture KC, but her primary thing that she does is a personal trainer for women, specializing in women over the age of 30. And then joining us on the phone pretty soon will be Ramona Ferris, who is a Bra Couture model and cancer survivor, who's on the committee for Bra Couture KC. And she was a model in 2012, as well as being one of the VIP. She's going to be in the VIP area this year. So hi, Sharon, and hi, Liz.
Hi.
Hello.
Sorry for that long introduction, but it is I wanted to kind of give people an idea of what you do, because if they haven't seen it, it's beautiful and unique, but it is a little bit different than a lot of other organizations. And so, Sharon, can you tell us how you got started with Bra Couture KC?
Well, first of all, I'm a breast cancer survivor myself, and Bra Couture was actually launched originally in Austin, Texas, by my daughter-in-law, who is a young survivor, and I thought it was a wonderful idea, and I wanted to bring it to Kansas City, so I presented the basic concept to the University of Kansas Cancer Center, and we launched together 8 years ago. So what, you know, sort of even with your introduction, I think gives me an opportunity to address this bra thing. So I think there's a lot of people who really just don't get the bra thing and why we have chosen this as a symbol for survivor, for surviving. And that is exactly what it is. It's really about that woman and her journey down a 100-foot runway, and what that means to her as a celebration. And it also gives her an opportunity, and I'm going to back up just a minute and talk about the bras, because I want to talk about them first. So originally, when we launched our first couple of years, we were so happy because people were kind of sticking flowers and fishes and butterflies on the bras. And then we were, you know, we had professional stylists that work with them to decide, should they wear a skirt, should they wear slacks, do they need a hairpiece, do they need jewelry. And then we also, the night of the event, we have professional hairstylists and makeup artists there. What's happening now, to your point and to what you were describing, is that The bras are becoming entire ensembles. They're looking like something that you would see on a runway show in New York. So when she comes out on the runway, she is styled from head to toe. We ask people to keep their focus on the bra, because that is what we do, and that is the symbol of survivorship. And so you know, now people are making headpieces and jackets and really, really spectacular things. I think at the heart of this, what this gives a survivor a chance to do is to have a positive experience after, you know, what you said is true and what occurs. You've lost your hair, you've lost your boobs. In some cases, you have massive radiation scars. At a minimum, if you have a double mastectomy, which is what I did, you've got those scars. And you've gone through this horrible experience of surviving and losing all of this and wondering as to whether or not you're going to lose your life as well. And all of your community has gone through that with you. So it's a drain on everybody in terms of just time and effort, and then also their emotions and their fear that they're going to lose you, and you are afraid you're going to die yourself. So now here you are, you're on a runway, and you have been styled from head to toe, and your friends and family are there to cheer you on. So it's a nice way, a joyful way, to share this breast cancer survival experience that ends in a really positive and upbeat, fine way. And we do auction the bras live from the runway, and every single bra has a package that goes with it. So it could be like a week's stay at a condominium in Mazatlan, Mexico, or a golf weekend in Breckenridge, or we've got a condo at the Lake of the Ozarks, or the KCTV 5 bra has two tickets to New York and an overnight stay in a hotel, and then you get to pick between some of their shows like Dr. Phil or... I'm not good at knowing what they are. I know the car karaoke guy is one of them. I think he's the late show. And so what that does is it really enhances the interest of those who are attending, because sometimes you would look and say, well, I'd like to buy that bra, but what would I do with it? Now, a lot of times women buy the bras and they frame them and put them in their daughter's rooms, or at the University of Kansas, the Bob Page and Jeff Wright, they have bought a lot of the sports bras. So we always have a KU bra, K-State bra. This year we're not going to have an MU bra, but we always have a Chiefs bra and we have a sporting bra. And those are always escorted by Kansas City Chiefs players. This year we already have Dustin Coquit, and I hope we have Anthony Sherman, and, you know, we're trying for a couple of other players as well. So it's fun and interesting when you have celebrities on the runway as well.
Mm-hmm. So, Liz, can you kind of describe, since you're the artist here, I think our listeners would want to know what the bras look like, or can you kind of walk us through the process of designing the bras and how that works?
Sure. A little backstory on how I even got involved with this. I was on an airplane in 2010 flying to Denver, and some girls got on and sat down next to me, and it was March, so it was a tournament, NCAA, and I pulled out a dance costume for my daughters to rhinestone, and the girl sitting next to me asked what I was doing. I told her I rhinestone dance costumes, and I asked her what she was doing. She was going to Vegas to watch the KU game. Well, we're both KU grads, and this girl's name was Sonia Jury. She's an architect here in Kansas City. And she said, I have a bra that is signed by Bill Self and all the KU players. And we both laughed, and I said, well, how did you do that? And she said, I just took it out of my underwear drawer, and I took it up to late night, and I stood in line with my Sharpie. And I said, what are you doing with it? And she said, I'm donating it to this organization called Art Bra KC. And I said, well, I'll rhinestone it if you want. And it was just a conversation between two people that didn't know each other. And so I gave her my card and said, when you get back from your Vegas trip watching the Jayhawks, call me if you really want me to stone it. So she did. We met, and I stoned around all the signatures, and the bra was itty-bitty. It was a size A. And it was red.
With all those signatures.
All the signatures. And it was literally out of her drawer. And so she invited me to the event, and it was at the Midland at the time. Mm-hmm. And so we still didn't really know each other. And I said I would be happy to come. And I went, and that's when I met Sharon, who was the director at the time. And it was the very first year. Mm-hmm. And I remember Sonia and I standing in the back as the KU bra came out on stage. And this cute little model had to have a sports bra underneath it because the bra was so tiny. And she's being escorted by Baby J, and she's got basketball shorts on. And I was struck because here is this darling girl walking a runway that she never asked to walk, because all of these models are up there on stage because they've been through a journey they never wanted to be a part of. So we stood there and watched this bra get auctioned off for $2,500. And both of us looked at each other and we thought, how did that just go for $2,500? And it was crazy. People were screaming, yelling, jumping up and down. And this bra goes into a shadow box in someone's basement for $2,500 out of her drawer. So we looked at each other and she said, you want to do it again next year? And I said, yes, but could we buy a bigger bra? So we did it the second year and actually went and got a bra. I talked to Sharon, got to know her a little bit about, you know, what actually were the specifics, because at the time it was so new, there really wasn't a lot of specifics about how to design a bra. Mm-hmm. So she gave me some good ideas of how big to get a bra. And so we did the second year, we did a KU bra blue, same thing. We sent it up to Bill Self with the explanation of why these crazy people were back.
And a little more room to sign.
A lot more room to sign. A different design on the bra actually stoned out, and then the players signed it again, and it sold for like, I don't know, over $3,000, like insane amounts of money. And so I've watched this organization grow since 2010, and it's just been amazing to see these women as we do these fittings and put them in things that make them feel comfortable representing themselves on stage. So as a designer, when I've had the opportunity to meet with these models, you know, my vision of the bra and their vision of the bra come together. Last year we did the Mizzou bra, and the cute girl that we put in this Mizzou bra said, I don't even care what's on it. I'm so excited to rock the runway.
Mm-hmm.
I've had models that are very self-conscious, and justifiably so. And so in a fitting, when we are working around mastectomy scars or models that have not undergone their reconstruction yet, you know, there is a dignity piece that gets wrapped into it that you don't see when they hit that runway. So we've done fringe to make them feel more comfortable walking on the runway. We've done a Wonder Woman bra because she really wanted a full coverage, so we actually put her in a corset.
Mm-hmm.
So we get some direction from the organization for sure, and then there is a creative piece to allow us freedom to decorate whatever the theme is that we're working on, and then the piece of working with the models to figure out how are they best going to feel comfortable in their space doing that, because it is a little frightening, you know, 100 feet on a runway in a bra in front of public after you've been through something pretty terrifying and horrific takes a lot of bravery. Mm-hmm. So as a designer, it's really neat at the end to see these women really rock the runway in a creation that I put some stones on, but they're the ones that really bring it to life.
And I think it's important. Liz hit on something that is very important to the organization. We say it's not about the bra, that it's about that walk. It's about that survivorship. So in most cases, women do want to be covered. And we have told models, hey, you can wear a long-sleeve turtleneck shirt and a skirt that goes all the way to the floor, because it's not Victoria's Secret. It's not a lingerie show. This is about you and what your comfort level is when you walk that runway with your friends and family cheering you on.
And I'd like to say how important that is, because a lot of people, when they see that you're having a bra auction, they'll think that you're sexualizing and sensationalizing
exactly.
breast cancer. And last October, there was a big scandal online because there was a really, really tone-deaf advert from a group called Icing and a charity group called Save the Tatas, which is also tone deaf all by itself and got pointed out lots of times during the scandal, had joined up with them to co-brand some things for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and they'd done this almost naked picture of a model with heart-shaped pasties over her nipples and were talking about breast cancer, and everyone's like, no, this is fearless, and showing pictures of themselves with their mastectomy scars and things like that. And so, and they're also pointing out that it's not about saving the tatas, it's saving the whole woman behind
exactly.
it.
Exactly, exactly.
So yours is a completely different approach to that.
Yes, it really is. It really is to give her this joyful experience. And in many cases, like this year, we have children at the event, so that also, lends to us, leaning on the conservative part of things. Absolutely.
You mean in the audience, children in
yes.
the audience? Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The children of the of survivors will be there.
I kind of think of it almost as a coming out party in a way, where
it's a good description.
And I know everybody uses journey all the time, but really it applies to this, where I would think that it would be a journey to be able to sort of present yourself as healed. And have the community accept you as beautiful mm-hmm. as you are, mm-hmm. you know, and have the confidence to walk out and feel like a woman and feel beautiful and be accepted by the community.
And let me also add that, you know, our money goes for uninsured and underinsured cancer patients, men, women, and children. The focus, of course, is on breast cancer because that's where we started. However, very quickly, I wanted to change our ribbon color from pink so that we had a more identifiable color that's attached to Bra Couture. And so we thought, well, North Kansas City reached out to us and asked us if we could provide them a grant so that they could buy lymphedema garments for men. Mm-hmm. And that's when we decided, well, let's go ahead and make our ribbon color lavender, which is sort of, you know, morphed into purple because we all love purple. But the idea is that our money can go to help anyone. So let me say a little bit more about that. We started out in partnership with the University of Kansas Cancer Center, and they then created this fund that allows, it is called the Patients in Need Fund, and it allows for women to come there who do not have insurance to get a wig, to get prosthetics, and then I was actually the one who asked KU if we could put lymphedema garments in there as well.
And let me just stop you for a minute, because people may not know what that is. And
yeah,
so often during, you know, breast cancer treatment, you might have to have some lymph nodes removed. But when you do, not all the time, but often, you'll have fluid backup because the lymphatic system is sort of the drainage system. It takes out the waste of the body. And so you'll end up with like an arm that's like a balloon, or like it's double the size, or different parts of your, it's usually an arm, but it could be other parts of your body. And so these are compression garments that kind of keep it tight so that, you know, you don't have this large part appendage.
Yeah, and it actually then keeps that fluid moving in and out of your arm so that it does not become toxic, and then therefore you lose your life as a result of that. And the same thing happens with men. Men can lose, all of us, if you had cervical cancer, you could lose the lymph nodes that manage the fluid in and out of your legs. And so that's why, that's how it comes into play mostly with men, is if they have cancer in their lower extremities. So I think, to me, you know, having done this now for 7 years, going into our eighth event, our goal is to give this money and try to take it to a really grassroots level. So the screening parties that we do, where we go into underserved communities and we pick up women who don't have insurance and we take them to be screened for a mammogram, or you know, when we're at Truman Medical Center and they cannot pay for their transportation or they cannot pay for their medication, we help them with that as well. So I like to say that our goal is to help individuals manage this cancer journey or this cancer process with grace, so that, you know, if you don't have insurance and you don't get a wig, well, now you do have a wig.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you lose your breast and you can't, you are not going to get reconstructive surgery if you don't have insurance, then we provide prosthetics. So it appears as though you have your breast back. And those kinds of things, I think, is what gives women the opportunity to feel more whole and not so, you know, just not so disadvantaged by not having that insurance.
And I love the fact that you take care of people after they're cured. The lymphedema stuff, people tend to forget about. A lot of people think about the upfront stuff, about knitting hats for people with cancer or donating hair for wigs for people with cancer, but they don't consider that it can have lifelong effects on their health, such as the lymphedema. And one of my friends recently had to have a surgery about nearly 2 years after her initial treatment to try and undo some of the damage from scar tissue and from the radiation damage to her body to help her continue. So many people rush around immediately when there's a diagnosis, and then the help just peters off and abandons people when mm-hmm. it can have lifelong effects on them and their emotions.
Well, I think it's a good moment to actually talk about the fact that, you know, in most cases, insurance, if women have insurance, men and women have insurance, it doesn't cover lymphedema garments. It is not, I don't understand that, because it's life-threatening. So there actually is a bill before Congress right now as we speak. I don't have the bill number memorized, but the purpose of that bill is to get Medicare and Medicaid to pay for lymphedema garments. And once that is approved, then normally the insurance companies will follow along behind. So to be proactive, if you wanted to do something, then I would encourage you to, you know, go look up this bill online and express your support for this bill with your representatives, because it's very, very important.
you know, I think that cancer touches everyone's life, whether you are an actual cancer survivor or you're a support system to someone that is either going through it or has gone through it. The thing that's always struck me is designing these bras for models is the reminder that it doesn't define you in the experience. It's a part of your journey. And I think when I've watched these models go through the whole transition, coming for that very first fitting where it's a little bit uncomfortable and awkward often, because they're, you know, they are coming in a different state than when they started their diagnosis, and to be palpated and prodded by stylists and designers trying to figure out how they're going to look their best. You know, one of the KU bra models a couple years ago was very forthright and said, I said, you know, I try to make him feel comfortable and say, you know, what do you do when you're not standing here getting fitted for a bra? And she said, well, I'm an oncologist. And the irony, you know, didn't go unnoticed. And she said, you know, I've always practiced with a lot of empathy for my patients. But going through the experience creates a very different sense of empathy towards them now as they come in. And, you know, for me, we can look at these women, and it's a moment in time. And I've reminded many of these women and people in my life that have cancer that this is not who you are. This is a part of your whole life. And I think that's hard when you go through something that is so defining. You know, you talk about having thyroid cancer, but you're not thyroid cancer. You know, and Sharon talks about being a breast cancer survivor, but she's not breast cancer. But I think it's very easy to put labels on people that we know to say, you know, oh, my friend Sharon, well, she had breast cancer. But what about all the other amazing things that far outweigh the experience that she went through having cancer? You know, you mentioned at the beginning, Christina, about all the boards that she has done. You know, Sharon Payne, you wouldn't even know that she went through breast cancer because she doesn't really talk about it. She talks about all the amazing good that we can do in this community. Oh, and by the way, she did go through that experience. So I think it's interesting as we move through this to keep, you know, keep that in perspective, that it is a defining moment, but it doesn't define these people that we see walk the stage.
Yeah, I want to get Ramona, who's on the line. I want to talk to her, but I just want to say one thing. You know, I've gone through my own thing with chemo. I had an autoimmune illness, but I will say that I want people to understand that it's the look part about it is part of it, but when you're sick and you're having a good day, if you have a wig on and you're not bald or you have your prosthetics in, and you can sort of pass as a healthy person, you can just go through your day. But when you don't have your hair and you don't have these things, people see you as sick and they're constantly asking you. And then you might not be thinking about your illness for one day for once. But if you don't have these things, it's more than just beauty. It's a way for you to pass in the world and not have people constantly be viewing you as a sick person. And so it really helps you have those days when you just want to not focus on your illness and you just really want to just be a woman in the world.
And let me just tell you, we had a young woman that who was Hispanic, and she had gone without, she'd had her double mastectomy probably 3 or 4 years before she discovered us. And she worked in a factory environment, and she was ridiculed because she was so flat-chested. And she literally had no other choice. So when she found us and we fitted her for prosthetics, she was over the moon. And then when we followed up with her to do a story, she actually said, I don't ever take these off. I sleep with them. The only time I'm without them is when I take a shower, because it completed her. It, to your point, it let her be in the world as a normal person and not as something that people would look at and make fun of her. So very, very important.
Or cause her to have to explain all the time,
exactly.
why.
Exactly. She was horribly shy, so yes. She was never going to just put her head down and put up with that. So, yeah, that was a very good point you made.
So, Ramona, I want to bring you in. How are you, Ramona?
I am good, and then I'm the polar opposite. I am a non-shy Hispanic woman.
That's funny. So you had no trouble when in 2012 walking down the runway in a bra didn't intimidate you?
I wouldn't say that it didn't intimidate me. You know, I am, and Sharon can attest, I'm a strong personality,
I'm never one to shy away from saying what's on my mind. But being up there, it was from a different perspective because, you know, those of us who've been through this, and I went through 15 months of a battle, and thankfully came out the other side. Cancer takes so much from you, and it's bit by bit by bit. And so at that moment, you know, I'm a strong person, but I tend to, you know, keep the smile on the face, you know, as many people do, or even if something else is going on. But it made me whole in a different way. It made me feel like, as I told someone, I felt like saying, like, I'm back. I feel, you know, I'm in a career, I'm in sales, so I'm always out and doing things. I'm somebody, for instance, I didn't wear a wig. The wigs, I tried them. They were itchy. I was hot. I was having nonstop hot flashes and night sweats. Mm-hmm. So I'm someone that chose to wear scarves in a variety of different styles. And I was blessed that a colleague had unfortunately gone through breast cancer a year and a half before I did, loaned me those. So each person, their own story, whatever they're most comfortable with. But I used it as a way for me to tell my story, but not really make it about me, but really as an opportunity, because I really feel that I'm here for a reason, and I'm surviving and thriving, but I also feel that it's my responsibility to give back, which is why I continue to be involved with Bra Couture KC.
And so how did Bra Couture KC make a difference to you personally, just going through the whole experience? Because there's a lot involved. You meet with the designer, and there's a lot of different meetings, and then eventually it kind of culminates with the runway. And so how right. did that affect you, and how does that last?
Well, you know, it's daunting, like you said. I mean, you're already feeling self-conscious. You know, I'm not a size 2. I'm not that size A cup from the first year. Never would have even probably made it over my shoulders, let alone across the rest of me. I'm a lovely average-sized woman. So
a beautiful woman.
You're so sweet. But, you know, besides everything else, you know, with the medications and the drugs and everything that you take, you know, I ended up with 25 more pounds than what I had when I was diagnosed. And so, you know, when you go through that, I was somebody that due to the chemotherapy that I was on, I was in my early 40s when I was diagnosed and treated, it threw me into permanent menopause. And so the challenges that you deal with that on top of everything else, it was kind of hard not to have a defeatist attitude. So when I was going in there, you know, and getting fitted, so kind, so reassuring to me. And, you know, I wasn't going to have myself exposed. I wanted to be covered up. So, you know, the skirt that I wore, the way that I had as far as, you know, the underlying piece underneath the bra to where it flattered me and it didn't call attention to anything I didn't want to call attention to, and making modifications and adjustments to cover something else here or put a feather in here, you know, just really extremely thoughtful and making sure that the design was beautiful and creative and artistic, but also made me shine and feel great about myself.
You know, a really wonderful thing has happened in the last this year and in last year, and that's that I found Alyssa's Flowers, Interiors, and Fashion in Independence on 40 Highway. Her shop is amazing. You cannot go in there and walk out empty-handed. And I was in there one day, and she has beautiful clothes, and she has beautiful jewelry. And so I asked her, I said, would you consider becoming the professional stylist for Bra Couture KC? And she was just over the moon about this. So what we have now is this whole boutique, if you will, available to us. So when we bring the models there, and Ramona, you can share your experience that you did yesterday, but when we bring the models there to be styled, then she will stand there and she'll look at them, and then she'll look at them, and then she leaves and she comes back and she has like a pair of really cool pants or skirt or jewelry or scarf or belt, and that she's just taken the, you know, the finishing touches of the bras to another level. And I know, like I said, Ramona, you were there yesterday, so you can speak a little bit about your personal experience.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and I, you know, dealt with her last year as far as talking about it, you know, as far as making sure people get out there. And, you know, the thing is, you know, Sharon probably talked about it as well. She and her team were there. I mean, it was like I walked in like I'm some important supermodel of some sort, you know, and trying on. And I'm the bra that I'm wearing in the VIP, it is a corset style, just because the way it's covered, and it's just beautiful duotone color and some different design artwork, and just looking through it. And, you know, the stylist came in and they really looked at it, and they looked at ways to enhance it and provide a different pieces and jewelry. And then, you know, I was there probably about an hour, and it was just this whole additional experience that it kind of brought back, like, wow, I feel like I did when I walked the runway in 2012. I mean, I'm really being, you know, taken care of, and that whole memory of feeling, you know, again, to where you're like, I'm here and I'm doing this, and they're so excited about it. And you know what? They've got fantastic things, and this is what they're doing and providing this as an in-kind. I mean, and I truly mean that. I mean, it's not like we're having to spend this exorbitant amount of money to be able to have these things. I mean, she just is waved that magic wand of her and her team, and just when I turned around, I was like, oh my gosh, I look 10 years younger. I look fantastic. I was, you know, and everybody was commenting on the, because they saw me when I first came in and put this corset on, and then people that are there shopping and kind of peeking in, they're like, oh my goodness. And it was like, well, you too can see this if you come to Barack Couture KC on April 13th and want to purchase a ticket. So yeah, they just do a wonderful job, and I can't say enough about the artist and the stylist and everything that they do. Because they get it. I mean, they're passionate about helping people, and, you know, people can be involved and whatever it may be. And I know Liz can speak to this and others, that people who haven't been before, once they come and actually see what it is, are like, how did I not know about it before? And how can I get involved going forward? Mm-hmm. Because that's they see the faces of not only the models on stage, but their support system that's around them, and people that are just this giant embrace.
Yeah, and I think, too, we have an art walk, and the art walk is filled with art that is donated by local artists here in Kansas City.
And so, this is in addition to the runway show.
So we do this event at the Signature Hangar at the downtown airport. So right now, if you were to go down there, there are multi-million-dollar jets parked in that space, and they back them out, and we fill it. And it looks spectacular by the time that we get through. So when you come in, you enter into the whole event space by going through an art walk. And we have we're probably going to have about 75 different pieces of art this year that's donated by local artists. So it's in every media. It's wood, jewelry, glass, oil, water. I've seen it's all being delivered at my home right now. So hardly any place to walk around, but it's spectacular. And then we have a pre-party that's called the VIP party. And, that's really, really fun. And then, you know, we start our show. And, so to Ramona's, point, it's kind of interesting how it seems like you almost have to see it. It's sort of back to the bra thing. I don't get the bra thing. It's like you really have to see it, and then you're just pulled in because it's such a warm experience.
Yeah, Liz, I know you want to say something, but I want to just paint a little bit more of a picture, because I have been to one of the events, and because it's a hangar at a private airport, it's sort of like concrete, but it's very clean, it's very white, so it's almost like this gigantic white room. And so your group is able to sort of transform it into whatever they want. And when I went, which was a long time ago, they had the Quixotica dance troupe that had the fabric that was hanging from the rafters, and the aerialists, whatever you call
them.
They were going up and down the silks, and they had chandeliers. And so it's just really a mind-blowing, incredible event. And
the food's great. The food is all donated by local restaurants, so it's like a noshing experience.
Yeah,
and,
it really is. Yeah. And so, Liz, I'm sorry.
No, I just wanted to touch on the fact that, you know, I started my involvement with this long ago, and to watch this evolve, a lot of credit to Sharon, you know, with anything, just selling a bra, like you touched on at the very beginning, only sells for so much. And as this event has grown over the years, not only change of venue, but what the value added that goes into this, it's become an event instead of just a bra auction. At the very beginning, you know, it was breast cancer survivors walking in bras, and that's what was auctioned off, and that's what we did as designers. And it has grown into such a bigger undertaking. And I think as things have to grow to be successful, either they do or they don't. And this event, you know, from that first year when you raised a good amount of money, maybe $50,000 that first year.
Well, actually, the first year we raised $90,000, and then the second year was when we were at the Midland and we raised $120,000.
Yeah, and then last year, tell us what was raised last year.
Last year we raised $260,000, and this year, well, Ramona says we're going to raise $350,000. So I'm going with Ramona.
$350,000
is what I'm saying. The most that we have ever auctioned a bra for was last year, and that was $15,000.
That's a huge amount of money. And I know we talk about it's more than the bra. It's so much more than the bra. And
it's about that woman
who's
on the runway, and it's her friends and her family that are bidding on her. Ramona, please go ahead.
And it's remarkable, though, too, because time and time again, at least one or more bras every year, there'll be people that will buy the bra and the packages that go along with it and then gift that bra back to that survivor model who will then be able to have that keepsake for themselves. It's just a remarkable thing, and you just see that compassion and passion married together. And for me, and I look at it, we have participated and have been involved in a variety of charities throughout our lives and going forward. And there's a lot of wonderful and worthy charities that are there. The reason why I time and time again come back and help with Bra Couture is it is unique in the fact that 100% of the money raised stays in the Kansas City community to assist those that are under and uninsured with services that they are so desperately in need of. And with the exception of Sharon and another part-time person, this is 100% volunteer-driven. It's unheard of. Most other charities that put on an event of this magnitude hire a company, or they've got, you know, 10, 15, 20 full-time staff, and then the volunteers. These are volunteers who all, like myself, have day jobs, have other jobs, have family commitments, or whatever it may be. The fact that we put on and raise this kind of money, it's a testament to what Sharon has built with Bra Couture KC and the people in the community that are like, I need to be a part of this. I want to be a part of this, because, you know, it's harder and harder to come by for charities to raise money. And the fact that it all stays in Kansas City speaks volumes to a lot of people. We're also fortunate, besides, you know, Sharon talked about the art walk, we've got the packages along with the bras and the live runway. We've also had a lot of companies that have kind of come out and have donated type of things. For instance, School of Sock. This will be the second year that they have designed a sock specifically for Bra Couture. And the founders have said, you know, we want to make this kind of like in a series of. So we had a sock last year. We'll have one this year. And their thought is, hey, let's just build this and help you with your brand and let people come in. And, well, I've got to collect this. It's got to be the next in the series of. And, you know, and Sharon would talk about what we've got coming up exciting that we just did recently.
And these are socks like you put on your feet, right? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
And School of Sock, it used to be Sock 101. It's a local company. They were actually on a part of, as far as a Shark Tank. They have evolved to where they have, they're very big as far as supporting charities that are there. They love our uniqueness and have created the design with our, you know, with our brand, you know, the black bra and the purple ribbon logo, and created some really cool looking socks, which you could buy the night of the event, but then you can also see about purchasing going forward. But Sharon and I and another person on our team went and experienced something really cool, and we're excited about something else we're launching.
Well, Ramona, that's great. We're going to take a short break and we're going to come back. No, that's fine. We're going to come back and we'll talk a little bit more about how people can get involved.
Perfect.
Jaws of Justice Radio investigates how we can achieve justice from a system of laws deeply rooted in economic, political, and social inequality. We strive to dispel misconceptions created by the news and entertainment industries, as well as the fear-mongering of the political system. Listen in as we search out the tools needed to make our community a more just environment. Jaws of Justice Radio, Mondays at 9 a.m., right after Democracy Now!
Potluck Productions, an area organization that produces quality play scripts written by area women, will present its next First Friday play reading on April 6th. The 90-minute show will feature five short plays focusing on the multiple life experiences of older adults. That's April 6th at the Uptown Arts Bar, 3611 Broadway. This message, a public service of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Hi, everybody. We're back with Every Woman, and I'm here discussing Art Bra. I'm sorry, that's the old name. Bra Couture KC with Sharon Butler Payne and Liz Camp Schroeder. And then on the phone, we have Ramona Ferris. And what I wanted to talk about now is, you know, for our audience and for our station, I wanted to kind of talk a little bit more about how people, how you get models, and also how people can volunteer if maybe they can't afford to buy a $10,000 bra, or they can't, you know, donate. How can they donate their time if they don't have a lot of money? And also, you know, how you get models and artists, because that's probably pretty important to your organization.
Mm-hmm. Well, when we started, because I launched in partnership with the University of Kansas Cancer Center, I was working with a group of plastic surgeons there. And so the first year, several of our models came from KU, but then that gave us the idea to reach out to Dr. Quinn. Dr. Quinn has also been involved since our very first year.
He's a plastic surgeon.
Yeah. He's fabulous. And he's been involved, and we got models from him, and we got models from Monarch. But what's today that we don't need to do that any longer. I already have 19 models for 2019 because of awareness like this, mm-hmm. like this program, mm-hmm. and people hearing the PSA on KCTV5 because we're part of Take 5 to Care. And so women are calling and saying, I want to be a model. So that's how we do that. The artists, we work, this year we're working with Candace, I have such a hard time saying her last name, Fuse, I think is how you say it, and she is an artist. She does silk scarves, and she's just very well connected. And now we've sort of built a community around artists in Kansas City, so they want to come back every year. But this year she expanded that to include many, many other artists. And then what we also did this year in that regard is that when you donate a piece of art to us, it goes on our Facebook page, and so does your website. So that gives you an opportunity to connect your art with an organization that puts it on Facebook that gives your art legs. And so what we're saying is come and buy a piece of art here, but if this is something you like, you are free to reach out to this artist directly.
So how do artists reach out to you if they're interested in donating their services?
Okay. If you go to bracouturekc.com, there is a Get Involved button, and then right at the very top there is a volunteer button, and you can also just email me directly from that website and tell me what you want to do in regard to Bra Couture KC. Now, you heard Ramona talk about this being a volunteer-driven organization. So there's about 30 people that are involved. Some of them have been involved since the very first year. It seems like when they get involved, they stay involved. They're like Ramona, they're part of our team. But we also need 100 volunteers the night of the event. And so if you volunteer, then you get to come to the event. If you volunteer for a minimum of 4 hours, then you get to come to the event for free. So we need people to help us set up. We need people to help us put the art up. We need people to put the tables and the chairs. And Ramona needs help with her centerpieces. And, I mean, you cannot fill an empty hangar in a day and a half without a lot of volunteers. So, again, you go to Bra Couture KC, get involved, and then you can actually click on volunteering, and there's a whole sheet that pops up that tells you the spaces and volunteer opportunities that are there for you.
Do you still need volunteers as of today?
We absolutely do.
Oh, great. Okay.
I would say we need probably 30 more.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, so
and there's an opportunity, you know, if
you know, because we're, like Sharon said, we're setting up over a day and a half. So if you don't have time, for instance, the day of the event, we can certainly use you the day before, the days leading up to it.
Mm-hmm. And do you want to tell us when the event is again and where it is?
Yes, it's April 13th, and it's at Signature Hangar at the downtown airport. Tickets are on sale at BrockatourKC.com. The VIP tickets are $250. The general admission tickets are $125, and that includes all unlimited food, unlimited drink, and then, like I said, if you decide you want to volunteer, then you would be able to attend the event for free.
And so, Liz, if you're an artist and you're interested, do you have to have any sewing ability, or do you have to have any, like, textile art? Or, I mean, what kind of artists do you see that help? Or, I mean, just so people kind of know what to expect.
You know, I think from a design standpoint, you just have to have the interest to be creative. And, you know, I'm a rhinestoner, so I'm not necessarily a sew person from the beginning. You know, my creations have always been in the collegiate arena or the pro sports. You know, we've seen so many different amazing things be created that hit the stage. And I think it just becomes a compilation of ideas and resources, you know, takes that village of creativity. So, you know, when you say design, identify, like, what does a designer look like? It really is just someone that has a passion for wanting to help create something for someone to feel comfortable with within the guidelines of what, you know, Sharon's looking for on the runway.
Mm-hmm. And we're really open. I mean, one of the bras this year that was designed by Alyssa's Flower Shop looks like a tree. It has.
I've heard about this. Yes. Sandy told me about the tree.
It's extraordinary. Mm-hmm. It really, really is. So. Yeah.
And so, I saw it briefly, but my understanding is it's almost sculptural. So again,
it is.
We say bra, but really this is much more than that. It's like art walking down. Mm-hmm. The tree bra is a whole ensemble that goes to the floor, and if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. And I think you just said the magic words that we are really trying to move toward, and that is art on the runway. So, yes, you may use that bra as the foundation of your design, but then from there, you create a piece of art on the runway. That's what we're looking for. And we're really wanting to do a call out to designers in Kansas City to get involved with this, interior architects, all kinds of designers that have that whole ability to look at designing something from head to toe.
And so just for fun, what are some of the bras, past and present, that are your favorites, your personal favorites? Can you describe them?
I can. Let me see. I think one of my very, very personal favorites was originally we had a woman who does all of the costumes for the Renaissance Festival, and she made these dragon bras. Remember that, Liz?
Yeah, those were beautiful.
Oh, my gosh. She made these bras that look like dragon faces out of individual little pieces of dragon scales. And then you know, we've lost five models that have walked the runway with us in the past 7 years. And Raelle Scott designed a bra in honor of one of the models that we lost just right before the event occurred. And it's on our website, and she attached the fabric to the waist of the model, and when she raised her arms up, it was this whole shimmering angel effect, and that was really beautiful. And then we've actually had designs that are angels. Talk about some of the things you've done, Liz.
Oh, I'm sorry. Trinity wanted to ask a quick question.
Okay. Yeah, so it definitely sounds like you get a lot of support for Brockatour, but what were some, like, obstacles or hardships that you faced when, like, creating it or just having to put it on?
I think because you just never know for certain how many people are going to come.
Oh, yeah.
That's always stressful no matter what. The execution, what we do is everybody's invested, but that's probably, from my perspective,
yeah,
in helping Sharon.
Yeah,
Sharon doesn't sleep for 6 months before this event anyway. So.
No, but she's right. I start worrying about ticket sales, and when actuality we've already sold 750 tickets, and we'll probably sell out. We always sell out, but I'm freaking out every year.
Every year, about, you know, 2 weeks, before, 2.5 weeks before, we have to bring her off the ledge and get her to stop hyperventilating. I'm like, it's fine. This happens every year. We always get to almost 1,000 mark. We'll be fine. So,
but I want to add something really, really quickly. I think I only have like maybe 60 seconds, and I think this is a perfect time to say this. You know, the foundation or the basic structure of Bra Couture remains the same when I launched it 8 years ago. What it is today is the collaboration of people like Ramona. There's an extremely talented group of volunteers that have come together. And we had a meeting recently, and somebody sat in on the meeting, and she said, you really need to gavel that meeting because it just goes on and on. And I said, well, that's how we create. That's how we use these diverse ideas. It's a safe environment for people to come forth with whatever their ideas are. So today, what's in that space is the collaborative effort of all of these volunteers, which are truly extraordinary.
Well, thanks a lot, ladies, for joining us today, Liz and Sharon and Ramona.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, it's a beautiful event. However you can participate, it's really worth it. I can attest to that.
We need some volunteers, so.
Yeah, that's great.
I think you're going to get some.
And tickets are still on sale. All of it
is. Yes.
BraCoutureKC.com.
Great. And, and you can also see some of the bras online, right?
Oh, yes. If you go online and you go to gallery, you can see the bras starting from the very first year. And it's really fun. It's really fun to see that. And then you can also see where the money goes, which is pretty cool.
Awesome. Well, thanks a lot, ladies.
Thank you for having
Thank
us.
You.
And I just wanted to tell everybody that next week we will have Chris Omni and Black Butterflies organization, and she's Topeka's own health hippie, and she's going to help us usher in April, which is Black Health Month, and Chris focuses on helping African-American women learn more about health and help them have better outcomes for certain diseases that are a little bit more prevalent in that community, such as diabetes and heart issues and things like that. And so she's going to join us. I'm excited because she's excited and fired up. So we really look forward to meeting with Chris. And, oh, yes, and you want to say something? Yeah.
Could you please tell them that imaging, is it on? Can I don't think it's on. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm mumbling over here, not knowing I'm on the air. I just want to say one thing. Imaging for Women has donated 100 free mammograms to Bra Couture KC. So if you do not have insurance and you want a mammogram, I want you to reach out to us because we're going to start that project next year, and we're going to use all 100 of those free mammograms.
Awesome. Thank you. And you are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio.